The Elvis Cast with Grant Bench.
Hello and welcome to the first of a very special series of Elvis Cast episodes where we hear the memories of one of my very special Elvis friends, Sue from Las Vegas. I first met Sue in 2012 and Sue was president of the Elvis Fan Club of Las Vegas at the time. We spent a good hour or so talking and it was just incredible to hear her memories. So you're going to hear some of those over the next few weeks. It was great to sit down and hear her memories and I know you'll find them just as special as I do. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, here is Sue from Vegas.
Here's my major quote. If you had told me when I was a kid who I would meet, who I'd become friends with, I would have said, no way. Because, you know, this part of my story, and I'm going to have to say that again later.
Yeah.
I grew up and the school I was in, I basically thought of myself as a nobody. And Elvis gave me something that nobody else did.
I'm
getting ahead of myself on things that I would like to share. Yeah, I had a conversation with Bill, the Spalding guy, who does a lot of great videos.
He does, yep.
And he interviewed me about Sonny sunglasses that John Daly thought were real when actually they were a gift from a man that used to make Elvis jewelry.
I saw that video. Oh my God, my friend Sue is on this one.
Okay, so you saw that. Yeah. When it came about on the internet, I think it was Mrs. Dadian's post. So she's describing what happened. And at the same chat group, I said, I was there when that happened, and I have pictures. And so it's just, you know, again, these things come back to me. I just got validated earlier today by Caroline, who runs the Nashville Elvis Club. You still there?
Yep.
Okay. And she was remembering this week of the exhibit opening, and people were saying all kinds of rumors and erroneous statements and assumptions, and I replied to every one of them. And then I wrote her privately and I said, you know, I went off because I will not accept people bashing my hometown and saying negative things about the Westgate. And so I put all that information out there. She wrote me back, and this is so cool. She goes, I agree with you 100%. And she said, you are the authority about Elvis in Las Vegas.
You certainly are.
Oh, my. Now, I told myself that yesterday when I was walking my dog and trying to get all the, you know, energy out of my system. But to have somebody like her say that to me, I'm like, wow, really? But I thought, no, there is nobody. There is nobody, you know, that you go, like me growing up and my dad being at the hotel and me seeing the shows that I did. And then the collecting that I did and learning about Elvis being at the Frontier in 1956 and researching that for several years.
Yeah. I want to talk about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, finally saying I need to start a club because the one I was in before was weak, I'm going to say. And I was doing things and some of the members eventually came to me and they said, you're not the president. I thought you were because of all the stuff you're doing. I said, no, it's somebody else. So I had a few people tell me, why don't you make your own club? I went, okay. So I did. And I had a certain philosophy, and I got to repeat myself later. The big thing that was happening in the 2000s was the impersonators were foremost in people's thoughts. When they thought of Elvis, they thought of the impersonators. EPE and Graceland, they had just focused on the 68 special, and coming up was their focus on Aloha. And I said, hello, what happened in the middle? Las Vegas. So I said, that's it. I got to start a club. And that's those two reasons. And I don't know which one was more, but I was angry.
Mm.
And
well, I mean, Aloha doesn't happen without Vegas, does it?
Because he was on tour.
Yeah.
And I understand 68 led to Las Vegas. That's cool. I understand that. And then he goes on tour. And then the touring is everywhere. And then Parker gets this great idea. You could see the world. Basically, the whole world can see you if you do this concert. And it was technology-wise a breakthrough. And Elvis understood that completely. You see him, how he talks about it in that announcement interview. And he's understanding the impact of this. My favorite story I like to talk about on that is a man I used to know. And he was growing up in Belgium at the time. He wasn't an Elvis fan at that time. He was going to later. Anyhow, he says, I remember riding my bike around the neighborhood. Everybody's TV, you could hear it through the window. They were all watching Elvis in Hawaii. Fantastic, isn't it?
Well, I get so many people, you know, of a certain age, obviously, that because the concert was live here, dead live on that same time. And my mum says I was sitting on her lap watching it. And anybody who's anybody who mentions Elvis says, I watched that live as it came through, and I'm like, how cool is that? Imagine that if I was a little older.
Yeah, I saw 68 TV special when it first came on, but it's a vague memory. And then I watched it when it was rerun, and it was great. My other story about Aloha is when that came on, we had it later in the United States.
Mm.
And we had a color TV, and my family, my dad worked at night, so it'd be my mom and my two brothers, and they were going to watch this special. Grant, they banished me to the back bedroom to watch it on black and white because they didn't want to see me excited and screaming at the TV.
I'll bet you that's exactly what you did do.
That's my memory of Aloha, watching in black and white.
Oh.
And the other thing was, That made an impression on me. I said, he is so stiff. He's not loose and having fun like he normally does when he's here in Las Vegas. And it wasn't until years later on the internet I learned, well, he had these marks he had to stand on. He'd already done a rehearsal, so his energy was different. And I can also imagine the importance of the whole thing just hitting him, saying, I've got to do this show a certain way to appeal to everyone that's watching me out there. I have a vague memory of when he performed in Las Vegas, so that would be August 73, and I was glad to have him back as his regular self.
Mm.
I think he might have worn one of the American Eagle jumpsuits. I have a vague memory of what he was wearing where I had seen the TV special. So this is one of my memories of seeing him live. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let me get started with something that you can work with. My family moved to Las Vegas in 1964. We were already visiting here in 1963. We were living in Los Angeles at the time. My dad thought that working in the hotels was a better employment security than being in Los Angeles. He was a sous chef. When he arrived in Las Vegas, his first job was at the Tally Ho, which eventually became the Aladdin. I love the beginning of Viva Las Vegas because it briefly shows the Tally Ho. Unless you study Las Vegas history, you won't recognize that hotel at all. Elvis and everybody was here in July of 1963. I have a picture of my family being here, and we are visiting Hoover Dam at about that time. So I like thinking about that. The other thing that's great about that movie is that's the Las Vegas I remember. And if anyone asks me, there's places where I can say, I know where that is. I know where that is.
Because there's not
I've had to.
The Vegas that we know now is, they call it Old Vegas. Can you still picture can you still picture things from there when you visit there?
When I see the pictures, and I belong to like two or three vintage Las Vegas groups, we all reminisce about how Las Vegas used to be. And when a certain picture appears, and you've seen me post it, I'll see something about the old Flamingo, and I say, this is where Viva Las Vegas was here. Or I'll see an old picture from the Strip of 1969, and I will share it on my club Facebook page so that the people there will get an understanding. This is what it looked like when Elvis was here in 1969. But look at all the times he came here. You know, 1956. He visited the next year in 57 when Vernon was married and they were in Graceland. He escaped that by going to Las Vegas after he finished filming Kid Galahad. You see him at the Sahara in 1962. And then filming Viva Las Vegas, getting married here, etc., etc.
What do you think attracted him to Las Vegas? Because, of course, as you mentioned there, that first trip in 1956, the legend has it that it wasn't such a successful engagement because of the crowd there. But what attracted him back then, do you think?
What he did beyond the show was why he liked Las Vegas. It was 24 hours, and he met all these entertainers. And he also made friends with a local girl. And I hated that her name has escaped me. One of the things he did was donate some money to build a softball park here. I like it that during the 2 weeks he was here, he held a Saturday matinee, and I do believe that was Parker's idea, so the teenagers could go see him. They were hanging from the rafters. I've got pictures of that showroom just totally packed. They paid a really small price, and it included a Coke. And then, I love it. And then when Elvis was done, fans, mostly girls, were in the hotel until the 10 p.m. curfew. And it was all that security could do was to make sure every one of them left and went home. But they were trying to see where his room was, and there's pictures of that where some of them found that. Many of them didn't, I suppose. But I can imagine just the excitement of being in the building, knowing he was there. I don't know what the locals did during the other days that he was here, what they knew, what they didn't know. There's books out on it that I'm sure have more details. When I was getting into the history of the frontier 20 years ago, pictures would come my way. And I was like, I must have some kind of energy out in the universe, because I would find them on the internet, or I'd be looking in a book, or I'd pull out a 50s magazine. I'd say, oh, and I was so well trained by that point, I could look at his clothes and I'd say, oh, yeah, that's him being here at the frontier. And some pictures that seemed like a mystery, I realized, oh, he's at the frontier, or he's at this place in Las Vegas. And I was able to connect the dots. The two books that came out covered a lot of material. I remember the first one put out kind of a private printing. I wrote him, I said, your book is great. You've got some pictures I don't, but I have some pictures that you don't. I thought that was really funny. And then the next book that came out by a author in Europe that had experience putting out books, I haven't looked through it, but it's thick. I paid a lot of money for it because I had to have it shipped from Europe. And I said, this has got to be complete. Everything's in here, you know, and it's printed on better paper. The pictures are going to have more quality. He's going to have facts in it that I didn't know. I can imagine the research. You'd have to go and see what you could find in the local paper. That would mean looking at their microfiche and see what they have. I remember here I'm bouncing around, but I remember I was trying to find things I remembered from the 70s. And I was talking to the newspaper here locally, and they said, I hate to tell you this, but we had a major fire and a lot of our paper items were lost. So whether they made it to microfiche or not, I don't know. So if you wanted to do a major research of Elvis in Las Vegas, all you can do is ask at the newspaper and see if they have anything. Otherwise, it's trying to find these articles on the internet, whether they have it in a scrapbook or somebody just selling something, something from their parents, whatever. I have saved many images of reviews and mentions of Elvis in the Las Vegas paper. And I say to myself, I bet you I had those originally in my collection. So now I have a digital image, and that's good enough. And that just happened to me last week. And it was on the Rockology page. And I said, I'm glad to see these from this scrapbook, because this is all Las Vegas history to me. Sure, there's stuff about his concerts, reviews from L.A., and it's like, no, I want it from the local paper. And back then that was, and it still is, the Review Journal and the Sun. I read those entertainment columns every day. I've had people say, how come you know all these entertainers? I said, I would look in the newspaper, and I saw them come to town. Then I would see them on TV with different performance shows. Gosh, you had Milton Berle, you had Red Skelton, Jackie Gleason, Ed Sullivan, Carol Burnett, Hollywood Palace, Tom Jones, Glenn Campbell, all these shows where you could see all these entertainers do comedy, sing, dance, things like that. And that was my musical and entertainment education. Mm. So I'm glad I grew up here. I know I hated it when I was a little kid. I found a letter I wrote to my grandmother, and I said, it's just too hot here.
I know all about that. Yeah.
I also remember growing up that the pain of not being 21 was very bad. Oh, you had to be careful walking in a casino. Don't loiter. In fact, they didn't want you near any of the slot machines. You had to circle on the edges. One of the favorite things my best friend and I used to do, because I think by that time we were able to drive a car, and we would visit different hotels, walk around, use the elevator. And one day we were in the Hilton, and I don't know what came over her. We had just finished being up at the 30th floor, and she pressed every button going down. I went, no, you did not do that. And we're, and I don't know, we made it down. Maybe she pushed all the buttons before the elevator went up. I can't remember. All I remember is we came back a few minutes later, and there were people complaining as they walked out of the elevator. So, and speaking of the 30th floor, let me debunk something. I want to mention Sammy Shore's first book. He accurately describes this. There was a discotheque, a nightclub, facing west. It is now Barry Manilow's suite when he is here. The rest of the floor was Elvis's, so I'm going to say 3/4. When Elvis was there, the elevator would open up. You'd see the red ropes. Somebody menacing was standing there, giving you the eye to see if you were allowed to come onto the 30th floor. And I would just go, hi, and then let the doors close. But it's like, at least I was up there. When Elvis wasn't there, I could go up there. And what was in the middle of the floor was a huge display with a replica of the crown jewels. And the nightclub was called the Crown Room. Now, being I wasn't 21, I could never walk into the Crown Room. Being that I didn't have my driver's license yet, or it just wasn't on my mental radar, I never went there at night. I don't know. I can't imagine being 16 years old, 17 years old, driving to the Hilton and trying to go to the nightclub when I'm not 21. I don't think so. And the other thing to remember is that with my father working at the hotel and my age, he doesn't want to get in trouble with anything that I might do. And I'm going to address that later.
Well, Aunt Sue's memory is just so special to hear. There's many more to come in future episodes, including Sue's encounters with Elvis, both on stage and off.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Elvis Cast. Subscribe or follow the show on your podcast platform of choice. Just search for Elvis Cast. All the links and contact information can be found on my website, elviscast.com.